Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Movers. TriStar Movers with 5-star service. Been talking for way too long today. We are
live
from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. We're streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Caroline Fenton, joined by Chase McCabe, and for Jared Stillman today. Now, we just had TD on for the TD Power Hour. I asked TD, what grade would you give the Tennessee Titans in their offseason acquisitions? Who came in? Who went out? The draft? So on and so forth. He said he'd give the Titans a C. And really, and I can't disagree with TD, because I think the Titans made very strategic and smart moves, both in trades and in the draft. But a lot of those moves aren't necessarily things that make the Tennessee Titans better in 2022. Of course, you could look at the Titans potentially taking a step back at the wide receiver position, trading their best wide receiver, arguably the best wide receiver they've had in quite some time. That doesn't make you better this year. Does it make you better in 2, 3, 4, 5 years? Probably. Getting younger, getting less injured, and replacing that wide receiver with another talented wide receiver. What can Treylon Burks do in 2022? That is yet to be known. Again, Treylon Burks, I think, the biggest mystery in this offseason. But Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com put out an article about ranking the best to worst offseasons in the NFL. And he puts out the second half. So the worst offseasons in the NFL, put those out first. Worst offseason, he puts the Seattle Seahawks, which I can't disagree.
Tough scene for the Seahawks.
Yeah, replacing Russell Wilson with Drew Lock. Not great, Bob. Not great. But the Tennessee Titans are listed at 20 on Bill Barnwell's list of best to worst NFL offseason. So the 20th best, 12th worst offseason in the NFL, wherever you want to put it. So less than half of the NFL offseasons. Bill Barnwell puts what went right, what went wrong, and what they could have done differently. Now, I agree with one thing that Bill Barnwell says, and that's what went right. He mentions signing Harold Landry to a big-time deal. He mentions Bud Dupree back. He mentions cutting Julio Jones, how that was a good thing both for the cap and for the team in general. I can't disagree. While I think signing Harold Landry doesn't necessarily make the Titans better, he's been on the Tennessee Titans. I think the alternative of not signing Harold Landry is much worse than it is better that the Titans sign Harold Landry, if you know what I mean. I don't want the alternative of the Titans not signing Harold Landry, looking to find a new piece in that defensive line. Harold Landry is a constant in this defensive line. It was a force that completely changed the course of the Titans season last year. I agree. That was a good thing that the Titans did in the offseason. Doesn't make them better, but definitely doesn't make them worse. And you look at Julio Jones as well, creating cap space, and also just Julio Jones not contributing like he was brought in here to do. So I would agree with what the Titans did right this offseason. And also he mentions Malik Willis. I think we can all agree that was a good bring in for the Titans.
Especially where they got him.
Where they got him, what they want to use him for. I think it's the perfect situation for the Titans. Creating a quarterback competition, essentially a bargain pick. A third-round pick with first-round hype, a project that they can work on, and a project that they have time to work on. They've afforded themselves that with Ryan Tannehill. Great. I think I agree. With what I disagree with is where the Titans went wrong. Bill Barnwell mentions where the Titans went wrong was not signing A.J. Brown in the offseason. And I think that if you're looking at it from a national perspective, you may only look at the A.J. Brown deal and the A.J. Brown trade on a very shallow sense. You might look at, A.J. Brown is a baller. Give him the money. Pay the man. But I think when you look at it in more of a local aspect, we understand A.J. Brown's limitations, A.J. Brown's injuries, and A.J. Brown's demands or terms of his re-signing, the money that he wanted. First it was $20 million guaranteed, and then it was $20 million a year, and then he wanted $80 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
The more and more the wide receiver market went up, the more and more AJ wanted. It was very much so in what can the Titans do for AJ rather than let's work this out kind of thing. So that's what I disagree with Bill Barnwell, because I don't think that's where the Tennessee Titans necessarily went wrong. Does it make the Titans better without A.J. Brown? No. But But I don't think that was a wrong move, signing A.J. Brown. And Bill Barnwell cites the fact that the Titans weren't willing to guarantee him more than $16 million per season. I don't think that's the truth. I understand that's the reporting that initially came out. But I don't think that the reporting, or whoever was reporting to TD, who did the reporting, A.J. Brown, saying that, you know, he would have signed for, what was it, 20, 22?
Yeah.
Saying that he, the Titans offered him $16 million with incentives up to $20 million. That's not accurate.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
I don't think that. I think the Titans would have been more than willing to give A.J. Brown 22.
I think it was the early parts of a negotiation.
Yes. But I have to disagree that the Titans offseason, where they went wrong, wasn't signing A.J. Brown. I think in the long run, that's going to be, in my opinion, if I can project it, that's going to be one of the best moves the Titans have made.
Yeah, well, it's a career-defining move for John Robinson, I think. But I look at it as, I think, given the circumstances, it was the right move. Because my concern was A.J. Brown becoming a problem inside the room? And I know they were in the offseason, but the Twitter stuff and deleting stuff, and was he taking shade at Tannehill? You know, just all of those things.
That whole saga.
While I think some of it was probably just silly, and you just kind of write it off as that, more and more things were happening, and the fact that, you know, he was having these negotiations, and it was, again, the early part of a negotiation. He was still under contract. Mm-hmm. He still had a year on the contract, and you could tell that he was to the point where he wasn't willing to go through that process.
No.
That he wanted it now, right now. And so I think John saw an out, and he took it. Now, he could go to Philadelphia, and he could absolutely tear it up, and he could play all 17 games. And Treylon Burks may take a year or two to develop. And that's obviously not a good look for the Titans.
But what's the alternative?
Well, right.
Holding on to A.J., giving him what he wants, overpaying him for a player that may not stay on the field consistently for 17 games.
And it would have been massively overpaying him. Philadelphia massively overpaid
him.
And I just would not have done that. And, you know, I was starting to see signs of attitude that I didn't like. And this is a team that, from the moment that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel took to the podium for their respective press conferences, they had the same message that they want players with a team-first mentality. And A.J. Brown, in my opinion, did not have a team-first mentality with some of the things that he was doing. So I think that they had to look at that and go, this could get worse before it's going to get better. And the window is still open, and we can't afford to have that kind of distraction from a player that's not happy with his contract. So it's best for us to just go ahead and move on. And ultimately, that's what they did. So I'm with you. I disagree with Bill Barnwell that even though in a perfect world, keeping him would have been great. And then maybe you even end up with Treylon Burks later on, you know, 8 picks later, whatever it was going to be. But I just think that they saw the writing on the wall of where this could go, and they knew that they needed to get out.
And I have to give the Titans props for making a move that probably wasn't easy to make.
No, they made the best of a really bad situation.
And Bill Barnwell also mentions, you know, what's next for the Titans. He mentions signing Jeffrey Simmons to a deal. If the Titans would have signed A.J. Brown to the terms that he wanted to be signed to, I mean, a ridiculous amount of money guaranteed, Jeffrey Simmons, his contract is up next too. Jeffrey Simmons could have looked at the money that the Titans were willing to deal A.J. and say, okay, I want money like that.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. is a top 15 wide receiver in the league. It got paid top 5 wide receiver money. You know, I'm up there with one of the best interior linemen in the league. I want to get paid like it. So then the Titans today made a very strategic move. So to Bill Barnwell, again, Bill Barnwell ranking all of the NFL teams and their offseasons, ranked the Titans the 20th best offseason move. But what went wrong in not signing A.J. Brown? I get it. A.J. Brown is an absolute dude. I get it. It hurts to move on from A.J. Brown. But I have to disagree that was a wrong move that was made. 6157, that was not a wrong move made.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought on that. But coming up next, Bill Barnwell also mentions what the Tennessee Titans could have done differently in order to boost their rankings on his list of the best and worst off seasons in the NFL, and why I disagree, and also TD disagreed as well. I'm going to get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Fenton, Chase McCabe, and for Jared Stillman. Stillman and Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Caroline Fenton, Chase McCabe, and for Jared Stillman today. Breaking down Bill Barnwell's rankings of the best to worst NFL offseasons. And of course, the first team I look for, the Tennessee Titans, sitting at number 20 in Bill Barnwell's rankings of best to worst offseasons. Of course, he mentions what went right. Signing Harold Landry, ditching the salary of Julio Jones, drafting Malik Willis to be there as kind of nipping at Ryan Tannehill's heels in terms of a quarterback competition. And Chase and I both disagree. What went wrong, per Bill Barnwell, is not signing A.J. Brown. And I disagree wholeheartedly. I think it was the best move financially. I think it was the best move culture-wise. Mike Vrabel talks about culture so much within the Tennessee Titans, how not one player is more important than the other. And A.J. Brown thought he was more important than the team. So you get shipped off. And I think that was not only a message in terms of the Tennessee Titans, but I think it was a good move financially, culturally, and on the field as well. But there's another aspect to this article as well that I disagree with. And that's Bill Barnwell's idea of what the Tennessee Titans could have done differently. And this is what he writes. He says, giving Brown an extension would have been nice. One alternative, even with a Brown trade, would have been using the number 18 pick on tackle Trevor Penning, which would have pushed a 2021 second-rounder Dylan Radins inside to guard. As it stands with Roger Saffold and David Questenberry leaving this offseason, the Titans will sort between Radins, Jamarco Jones, Aaron Brewer, and rookie third-rounder Nicholas Petit-Frere to fill the two open spots in the starting lineup. I don't disagree. Chase, I don't think you would disagree, and I don't think a lot of you listening would disagree that offensive line is a cause for concern for this Titans team.
Big time.
Big time. I mean, you're working with a second-year guy in Dylan Radins who last season didn't look ready. You're working with a rookie in Nicholas Petit-Frere who knows what he can do. I mean, you're
project right now. Project. Probably.
You're kind of looking at an island of misfit toys in terms of this Titans offensive line. No, I don't disagree that adding an offensive lineman in this draft probably would have been beneficial for the Tennessee Titans. But Bill Barnwell says what they could have done differently is drafting Trevor Penning or another offensive lineman with that 18th pick. And I also disagree with that because who would be catching passes for the Titans?
Yeah.
You trade AJ for the 18th pick, you pick up Trevor Penning, and yeah, that would probably ease a lot of your concerns, solve a lot of your problems at offensive line. You know, sticking Trevor Penning in there, you would feel a whole heck of a lot better about who's protecting Ryan Tannehill or whoever it is under center. But then that opens up a completely new problem. It opens up a completely, so many new questions at wide receiver. You trade away AJ Brown, then who you got? Robert Woods,
right.
Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Mason Kinsey.
You don't know if they would have drafted somebody else later
they
on.
They could have drafted someone else later on. They could pick someone else up at free agency.
Sure. But that's why these type things are so difficult because, you know, you're gonna say, well, you shouldn't have done this, and then, okay, then it changes your whole draft. And maybe you don't get Malik Willis. So, you know, it is what it is. I think they still did what they needed to do at the time. By moving on from AJ. But yes, the offensive line is certainly a very big cause for concern.
And another point to that is where I can kind of see Bill Barnwell's side of things is this is a run first offense.
Yeah.
You need someone opening up holes for Derrick Henry. We've seen this past season that whenever the offensive line, you know, was so fickle, Ryan Tannehill looked so spooked. I mean, getting sacked so many times against the New York Jets, for example, I never really thought he looked the same after that. He was seeing ghosts after that. So you could make the argument of what's the most important thing in this offense, Tannehill protecting the football, and Derrick Henry finding those holes so Derrick Henry can do Derrick Henry things. I don't agree with the fact that the Titans should have picked an offensive lineman with that pick because I think we would have the same discussion about wide receivers as we would about offensive linemen if that would have happened. But I think it is a fair point to look at it like this is not a pass-first offense. This is a run-first offense. So who's creating those holes for Derrick Henry? Because that's the backbone of your offense.
Yeah, and right now they don't know the answer to that, whether – they're going to put Jamarco Jones at left guard, Aaron Brewer at left guard, Radins, you know, and then obviously one on the other side at tackle. You know, are they going to keep looking at free agency, see if there's any releases that they could bring in. I mean, what do they do if they go through the process this, you know, this offseason and into training camp and they don't really figure it out? It's patchwork. Good job.
Thank you. Watch Nashville Sounds baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9.
But they go through that entire process, and then all of a sudden, Quisenberry or Dennis Kelly or somebody like that gets released, doesn't make a team. Do they jump on that and just bring in two guys, one of two guys that knows the system and can throw them in there?
But then at that point, are you just treading water? You know, yeah, the offensive line was abysmal last year, but it would at least allow you.
It's the devil you know compared to the devil you don't.
Exactly.
You know, and I obviously they know more than I do in personnel, but I know that the fact that Dennis Kelly sat out there basically all offseason, mm-hmm. you just hired his brother to be the passing game coordinator. You knew you needed a right tackle. Why they didn't just go and say, hey, let's just run it back with him, bring him back. You could get him pretty cheap, and then you know what you got. You got a solid right tackle at that point. You don't have your right tackle of the future, but you have somebody solid, and then you have one spot that you're focusing on. But I think in their mind, they are hoping that they are going to be with what they have, be able to upgrade long-term that position over David Quisenberry and Dennis Kelly. And we just don't know if that's going to be the case yet.
And TD was with us for the TD Power Hour. And a texter asked TD in questions for TD, do you think they made the right decision in deciding to fill that hole with a wide receiver over an offensive lineman? And he said, he thought about it for a minute. It's a kind of a difficult question to ask because what's the lesser of two evils? Or, you know, do you want to go with the unknown? And TD said, no, overall, he would have taken Treylon Burks over an offensive lineman. And I have to agree. But again, that question remains. What's the plan at offensive line? And if you really want to have a true assessment of your quarterback, which I think is what they want to do with Ryan Tannehill, what's the plan with Ryan Tannehill moving forward? If you don't have an offensive line there to protect him, are you really doing yourself a service by not getting a fair assessment of Ryan Tannehill if he's constantly on the ground because his offensive line can't protect him?
That's a big problem.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like that's what we're doing with two of our professional sports teams in this town is at times asking what's the plan or is the plan working? You know, that's kind of where we're at. And I think the Titans are figuring it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that they at least they don't have nothing. You know, they're
right.
starting.
They
with
have
something.
Bodies.
Sure.
Do you trust them? Do you know where their level is at? That's the question.
Right. So I think that's the process. Now, look, we could get into training camp and be a couple weeks into training camp and after a preseason game, and we feel a hell of a lot better about all of this. Then we go, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Raidens has come a long way. You know, Petit Frere is a rookie, but you got something. Or Jamarco Jones is solid enough that he can be a stopgap for you. Tannehill looks like the old Tannehill. I mean, all those things could certainly happen, but because we're going on the evidence that we have right now today, we can't sit here and definitively say that.
Yeah, things on the table, but things that I'm not going to bet on. But let's go to your phone.
It depends on what the odds are, you know.
Yeah, maybe it's worth a sprinkle in here and there. Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fred in Ashland City asked about A.J. Brown. Says, I really feel like A.J. got bad advice about contract negotiations from Julio that led to all of that. I can't go there.
But that's an interesting – it's a stretch of a theory, but it's an interesting one.
I mean, is A.J.'s agent going to let him take contract negotiation advice from Julio? I understand Julio's an NFL vet. Julio's been through contract negotiations. Julio's gotten paid. But also, at what point – Torrey Dandy, right, is A.J.'s agent?
Yeah, that's
I believe
that's right,
so.
Yeah.
At what point is Torrey Dandy going to say, hey, AJ, you hired me to do this for you. Not Julio, not your teammate. Let me do the contract negotiations for you, and we'll go from there.
I sat here with D-Mace, and somebody asked, like, what would be your advice for AJ? And D-Mace said, let your agent do his job. You pay him mm-hmm. a certain percentage, let him do his job, and get out of the way.
Exactly.
But players can't do that. Some players can't do that.
One texter texts in and says, if the big players aren't there, maybe the organization isn't as healthy as thought on the inside. I believe they're talking about OTAs, yeah. Especially after the loss last year and the gut punch loss of AJ.
I just feel like we're reading way too much into this sometimes. Guys that are there, like you would, in a perfect world, everybody would be there. You know, there are certain positions, like Tannehill should be there, okay, because mm-hmm. he's the leader on the team. Would I like to see Derrick Henry there? Yes. But do I think that Derrick Henry is doing the work and that he is going to be in shape come training camp time? Absolutely yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about that.
That's not my worry. Like the in shape side of things or the being ready to be on the field side of things, I feel very confident that Derrick Henry and Jeffrey Simmons are going to be in shape and ready to go come training camp. That's not my concern. I think my concern is just, you know, where are the leaders? Where is the veteran presence? I mean, Taylor Lewan spoke after OTAs, and of course, Taylor Lewan does a lot of things that benefit Taylor Lewan, but he mentioned that he wanted to be there to help the younger guys, to help the Dylan Radins and Nicholas Petitfrere, and kind of be that leader and help them and guide them. I think that's an invaluable part of OTAs. Of course, again, Taylor Lewan does things to help Taylor Lewan.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a good bit of that there, yeah. that he, you know, wanted to do himself a favor. But I think that's true. I think that's an aspect of this that is important, that veteran presence and the guys in the locker room pushing other guys in the locker room, being a presence for the younger guys there. I think that's important.
I definitely think that's important. And so I think that that's kind of where you get some of Vrabel's frustration because, again, the old school mentality like we were talking about with Teron of, mm-hmm. you know, they were all there in the offseason. They all did the offseason work. They, you know, they had that edge. I heard Jared reference that from
the edge.
Man in the Arena. And I think that's all very, very true. But at the end of the day, I still believe that they're all going to be on the same page and it's all going to be fine with them doing their own thing and doing their own workout. So I'm not as concerned about it maybe as some.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a Titans thoughts, taking your calls and your texts coming next. Plus, is there a certain aspect of this team that completely could drive your thoughts about the Titans offseason? And what exactly is that? We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I got to let y'all know that ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game is your racing station.
Vroom, vroom.
Vroom, vroom. Tune in this Sunday to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game for a racing doubleheader starting at 10 a.m. with the Indy 500 by NASCAR's Coca-Cola 600 at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. Also join our very own Chase McCabe, the Hi. Suit, every Sunday morning at 8 for Chase and Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for race weekend. The Memorial Day weekend racing doubleheader on 102.5 The Game is presented by Nashville Super Speedway, Nashville Fairground Speedway, and European Collision Repair. That was Teron Davenport. That was Teron Davenport on the show earlier for the TD Power Hour. I texted in and asked, do you think the Titans made a mistake taking Treylon Burks over perhaps a Trevor Penning or another offensive line in the first round of the draft, TD? I mean, it's a fair question to ask. And that's what Bill Barnwell brought up in his article where he ranked the best and worst off seasons of each NFL team. And he said what the Titans could have done differently to help themselves in the offseason is taking a Trevor Penning or another offensive lineman that was in the draft over a Treylon Burks. But I think I have to side with TD that while it was a difficult decision to make, I mean, the Titans traded away their one of their best offensive assets and had to fill that hole that was created. So, I mean, I don't disagree with that whatsoever. But I asked TD what he thought about the Titans' offseason, looking at Bill Barnwell's article, ranking the offseasons. TD says he gives the Titans a C in the offseason. Bill Barnwell ranks the Titans the 20th best offseason in the NFL. I don't think anyone is incredibly thrilled by what the Titans have done in the offseason. I mean, they haven't brought in any sort of big splashes. Of course, last year with Julio Jones, that was the big name. That was the SportsCenter headline. That was the first article up on ESPN.com was the Titans signing Julio Jones because it was an exciting name, and that's a sexy name that everybody knows. But I don't think it necessarily made the Titans better. So I don't have a problem with the Titans not making any of those big-time, splashy ESPN.com headline type of acquisitions. But I don't disagree that this offseason for the Titans hasn't necessarily been remarkable.
Well, Right, but I think the draft part's also incomplete. Like going back to the clip with TD. Last year after the draft, people were asking the questions, did the Bengals make a mistake by taking Ja'Marr Chase instead of an offensive lineman? I ask you this, Caroline, today. Did they make a mistake taking Ja'Marr Chase?
No, there's no homerism in this statement. Absolutely, positively, no, they did not make a single mistake taking Ja'Marr Chase.
I mean, that was a question going into the draft because of, okay, do they get Joe Burrow, his favorite receiver from LSU, or do they get him where he doesn't get his head knocked off and get him some help?
And admittedly, going into the draft last year, I thought the Bengals should have taken Penei Sewell.
Yeah.
I thought, give Joe Burrow some protection, because if he's on the ground, he's not going to be able to throw it to Ja'Marr Chase.
Do you think the Titans get to him nine times? I mean, I don't know if one guy makes that much of a difference, but it would have been an upgrade. Uh-huh. But are they even in the playoffs if they don't get Ja'Marr Chase? I mean, that's just...
We
won't know. So...
But Ja'Marr Chase was the offensive rookie of the year.
He was. And, you know, I think people don't believe that Treylon Burks is going to be the offensive rookie of the year. We have no idea.
We don't know.
I mean, you know, we don't know how that is going to work out.
Again, we'll check the odds before we put some money on it.
Yeah,
but,
no, that'd be good. Yeah. But I think that with the offseason, you know, was the free agency part, okay, they didn't blow anybody away, but they weren't going to be able to. I mean, they did some things, but they were hampered by the salary cap. They're going to get a little relief after June 1st with the Julio stuff. They went for that last offseason. Didn't work. Okay. You know, you move on. But the draft, I think on paper, they had a really good draft. Now, it's all got to play out. You know, you're not going to hit on everything. But there was a lot of intrigue in this draft with Burks, with Chig Okonkwo, with Malik Willis, with Hassan Haskins, they had like 8 picks, so several others. So it's hard to really truly grade the offseason overall until you see what you got in the draft. And that is what everybody's looking at with John Robinson, because he's still got some incompletes when it comes to drafting these last few years.
And that's something that I think a lot of Titans fans are looking at, is John Robinson's draft record. But I think if you're going to look at the Titans offseason, it's what I've noticed in all of these preseason power rankings. It's what I noticed in Bill Barnwell's article. They're looking at the pass catchers. So I think if in this wide receiving core, I think if you are going to look at the Titans offseason and what they have acquired in the offseason, how you view this Titans offseason and how successful or how confident you feel about this Titans team going into next season, I think totally depends on which wide receiver core you'd rather have. Would you rather have an A.J. Brown and a Julio Jones, or would you rather have a Robert Woods and a Treylon Burks? I oftentimes live in the world of, if you know what you're going to get with something and it's not great, then the alternative is worth a shot. Yes, it's a risk, because the alternative could be worse. You could be moving off of something that's, you know, working but maybe not elite and going on to something worse. You may take a step back. That's a risk that you have to take. But the alternative to that is it could be better. So I asked this question to David Beauclair yesterday, and this is what David Beauclair had to say about the two different pass-catching cores last year in A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, and this year with Treylon Burks and Robert Woods. I can't disagree more. And so I think I look at this Titans offseason with a little bit more of a glass half full approach, because I would take Treylon Burks and Robert Woods over A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, because I disagree with David Beauclair. Yeah. I don't think that Julio Jones scared defensive backs. Maybe Julio Jones 5 or 6 years ago, yeah. I'd need to change my shorts if I'm a defensive back covering Julio Jones.
2 or 3 years ago.
Even that.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was anything Julio Jones did last year, barring the Seahawks game. That was a really solid game for Julio. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't consistent. He wasn't as explosive as he has been in the past. He wasn't consistent. There was nothing to me that Julio Jones did last year that I would think, wow, like, you know, this is that dude. And I understand his name is Julio Jones, and he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. And he was a Madden machine, a fantasy football machine in the past. But what he was for the Titans wasn't what he was for the Falcons. So that alone, I have to say that I take the alternative and the risk of not knowing what Robert Woods and Treylon Burks can be over what we know that what we got from Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, which was in and out of the lineup, both of them with injuries. A.J. dropped balls. Julio wasn't available. Your best ability is availability. So I take the gamble and I take the risk on Robert Woods and Treylon Burks. And I think that's why I look at this Titans offense a little bit more positively than maybe some of the national football talking heads might.
Yeah. I mean, I give you – we'll add the third in there. I mean, I give you A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Chester Rogers, or I give you Treylon Burks, Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook-Akina.
I'll take the latter. And where are you going to take Anthony Firkser or Austin Hooper?
I take Hooper.
I take Austin Hooper.
I take Chigakonkwo. I take, you know, Jeff Swaim is the holdover. But, you know, and Michael Pruitt was a solid player for you. He was one you didn't even know you were going to get back. But then, you know, he got hurt, gruesome injury, and you bring Swaim back. And Swaim is a solid pass catching, well, really a blocking tight end, but he can catch some passes for you. So I think the upside for this group is much higher than the last group because of everything that you just said with Julio Jones and the fact that he just isn't the same Julio Jones anymore. A.J. Brown that's the tough one because good A.J. can take over a football game and win you a football game and go off for a 125 and 2 touchdowns. But he can also drop a key catch. He can also get hurt and have bad knees and not be able to play.
And or want $80 million guaranteed.
Right. And so have a bad attitude on Twitter. So it's just a catch 22 in all of it.
No pun intended.
Well, there you go. Uh-huh. A little bit.
Catch.
And a gamble. But I think the upside is much, much better for the group that they have right now.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get to your phones on this. What would you prefer? The 2021 pass-catching core for the Tennessee Titans with A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Anthony Firkser? Knowing what you know about that pass-catching core, are you gambling with the new pass-catching core? Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, Austin Hooper. We'll get to your thoughts on that coming up next. Stillman & Company, Caroline Fenton, Chase McCabe, and for Jared Stillman, we're live on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Adam Kaplan on the Midday Show earlier today, NFL insider, talking about this Titans offense coming into this year. And even though I would take Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, Austin Hooper over the pass catching in the offensive core of last season, I don't disagree with him that there are a lot of questions on offense and there probably are a lot of causes for concern on this offense. But are you going to gamble or are you going to go with what you got? And I think that's a fair question to ask.
I mean, I think right now you have to go with what you got. You know, and there's going to be questions every year, mm-hmm. but I think we are all keyed in on this because of all the changes and the fact that they did address the offensive line in the draft and free agency, but not maybe to the extent that everybody hoped that they would. But, you know, I think consider this, injury aside, because you know those are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The starting 11 on offense on opening day against the Giants here in Nashville is likely to be much different as you move down the line because you're going to learn more. You know, let's say that Woods isn't ready. Okay. Eventually he will be. Maybe Treylon Burks isn't ready. Okay. Eventually he will be, hopefully. Offensive line. My guess is that's going to be a bit of a juggling act as they try and figure that out. So while ideally you start opening day with your starting 11 and that's your plan for the rest of the way, barring any type of injury, it usually 9 times out of 10 doesn't work like that. It's just, can you build upon that? Is that not, you know, is opening day the starting point and then you get to the ceiling later on down the line in the season? That's going to be the question. Because if it's the other way around, then we're probably not talking about January football with this team.
And that's a fair point in that we talk about week one. You know, you can still improve and progress from week one to week two to week 10 to week 17. You know, we're not just talking week one. And, of course, if Treylon Burks or Robert Woods isn't ready, of course that poses a lot of questions and concerns week one. But there is progressing that can go on post week one. But you can join 102.5 The Game this Sunday for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix Indy 500 watch party at Jonathan's Grill in Mount Juliet from 11 to 3 p.m. Enter to win a VIP experience at the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix that includes tickets, paddock passes, and an official pace car ride. Also enjoy 2-for-1 specials on draft and bottled beer. That is this Sunday at Jonathan's in Mount Juliet from 11 to 3 p.m. Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. But first and foremost, Indy Ben texts into the text line and says, Kyle Phillips scares me more than Burks and Woods. I'm not as high on Burks and Woods as you apparently are, so I would argue losing AJ and Julio gives them a worse duo for 2022. I don't think we're talking enough about Kyle Phillips.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen limited things from Kyle Phillips, of course, in OTAs, and we talked about it with Robert Woods, is you look a lot different in practice when you don't have a DB on your tail, whenever you're not running complex routes, whenever it's not a game setting. You can look very different, but I think Kyle Phillips has a pretty bright future and could fill in that slot receiver role, if not week one, potentially at some point in the season.
Oh, I think so, too. I mean, you know, that's going to be a fun battle to watch with Kyle Phillips and Mason Kinsey, but I think they, you know, even though where they took Kyle Phillips fifth round, they still want him to be a part of this team. It's just like last year when they spent a fourth round pick on Des Fitzpatrick. They wanted him to be a part of the team. He just wasn't ready for it. And so now your hope is that Kyle Phillips is going to come in much further along than where Des was last year, and that Des is going to come in much further along than where he was last year. But this team needs a true slot wide receiver. They haven't had one in a while. They had signed Adam Humphries and hoped that he would be that guy. He wasn't. You know, I look at my dream scenario is for them to find that Wes Welker, that Julian Edelman type that the Patriots were so good at, and maybe it's Kyle Phillips. You never know. But they need that. Like, they need multiple options, the two to the outside, somebody over the middle, the tight end. You obviously have Henry, but if you you go to your pass catching running back, you can do that. And so I think if all these options play out, they're going to have a lot to work with. Tannehill is going to have a lot to work with, but I do agree that not enough people are talking about Kyle Phillips. I think he could be one of the steals.
And TD brought up a good point in Austin Hooper as well, is Ryan Tannehill thrives in kind of those short passing situations. He thrives when you can dink and dunk down the field. He's not going to launch it 45 yards down the field, and that's okay. That's not what they need him to do. But having Austin Hooper there kind of in a closer situation, I think, is going to make Ryan Tannehill feel so much more comfortable. But Jay from Hopkinsville texts into the text line and says, I'm gambling on the new guys because last year's wide receiver room was nothing to count on, and there is no I in team, so bye-bye, AJ. Good luck with the Philly media.
That's going to be interesting.
Godspeed to AJ Brown.
Does he delete his Twitter account by midseason?
I think he has to.
Oh, I would love to set odds on that.
Let's check the books.
Let's check the books.
But
I would say yes. -250.
I mean, keep your peace, AJ, because they're not going to be nice to you. If he's upset and worried about death threats from, you know, Titans fans in Nashville,
yeah,
like Jared always says, the people in Philadelphia booed Santa Claus. They'll boo you.
They booed Santa Claus and they threw snowballs at him.
And if you drop passes in a playoff game, they'll boo you too.
They have a jail in the stadium. Like, that's how they work.
You need to make a way to a Philadelphia game. That's just unreal.
Or maybe you don't.
Maybe it would be best if I do wear an Eagles jersey. Maybe I just fit in. Wear my camouflage. Nobody yells at me.
I asked a former Titan one time, and I won't say his name. He doesn't work here. I said, what city, like, did you just dread going to the most? And he was like, Philly. Like,
that doesn't shock me.
We were pulling in on the bus one time, and somebody threw a bottle of Jack Daniels at the window on the bus.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that just
absolutely insane.
Yeah. So,
jeez.
Good luck, AJ.
Good luck. Godspeed. T's and P's to AJ in his Twitter account mentions. But Jay from Hopkinsville, I think, makes a fair point in that the talent level of last year's wide receiver room, I think, is completely different than the being able to count on them level of the wide receiver room. Because, I mean, AJ, yeah, he's a dog. What could Julio have done if he was consistently on the field? and I don't know, probably more than what he did, but they weren't. AJ was in and off, on and off the bench. Julio was on and off the bench. So talent level aside, you just couldn't count on those guys.
Yeah, and that's – it's accountability. You got to be able to have accountability. Mm-hmm.
And Craig texts into the text line and says, does Hassan Haskins give us a viable pass catch threat out of the backfield?
I would say that he's more of the Derrick Henry type. Now, I think that Derrick got better at that, but Hilliard is the pass catching running back and I like that. I like bringing him back. I thought that was a good move.
And they need a pass catching running back. That's not what Derrick Henry is.
No.
He's not going
to
be.
And they weren't able to get that, you know, the last few years. Until they found somebody like Hilliard. But I think Hassan Haskins is the hope there is he's going to take a little bit of the workload off of Henry.
And Matt from Camden texts in and says, what's crazy is that the Titans have moved on from Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, Julio Jones, and A.J. Brown over the last 2 years. Which sounds crazy when you list off those players as a whole, but if you look at each individual circumstance, they all make sense. Like, moving on from Julio Jones, yeah, but Julio Jones had one touchdown.
I got two words for you. Patriot way.
No one person is bigger than the team. Do your job.
That's right.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, it is power ranking season. Gotta love it. Gotta love the offseason. But where exactly does Pro Football Focus put the Tennessee Titans? And why? Why I think they were put where they were, why Chase thinks they were put where they were. We'll get into that coming up next. Plus, your phones as well. You're listening to Stillman & Company featuring Caroline Fenton on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app.